Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Now, the Ten Commandments, God's foundational laws for a healthy human society. This is the Creator telling his creation, these are the 10 most important laws to get in place. Don't worship false gods. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't lie under oath about your neighbour. Don't commit adultery. Have a nap. Seriously? I mean, when you think about it, it is a pretty odd thing to stick right in the middle of your Ten Commandments. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm all in favour of having a siesta. I think it's a brilliant idea to take a break from work. But what on earth is it doing in such a prominent place in God's law? I think this is actually a particularly pressing issue for us in 21st century London, because we've basically sleepwalked in the last 30 years into full-time work, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I remember before I was worked as a minister, I worked in a city law firm, and I remember chatting to one of the senior partners who'd retired at a function, and he said when he started work at this top-ranked city law firm in the early 80s, the office doors were locked at 6:30 p.m. and you could not get access to the building on a Saturday or a Sunday. Just absolutely mind-boggling. Whereas today, all-nighters are just commonplace. And even when you do go home, it's so that you can have a romantic meal lit by the faint glow of your smartphones as you scroll through your emails and fail to listen to one another as you make small talk. And no one worked out, is this a really good idea? Is this healthy for us that we just work all the time and never switch off? The technology enabled us to do it, so we just do it. Years ago, C.S. Lewis observed that ancient people valued wisdom, but modern people value technology. And they started opposite places. So wisdom tries to understand what the world is like and what we're like, and says, how should I live in the light of the reality of what the world is like and the reality of the limitations of my physical body? Technology starts from the opposite place. Technology says, what do I want to do now? How can I manipulate the world to get around the limitations of the world and the human body to do what I want to do? But it's not good for us to be slaves to what technology enables us to do necessarily. You know, it's epidemic levels, stress and anxiety in London. You look at the graphs on the medical websites of use of antidepressants and sleep enhancing pills because people are struggling so much, and it's basically an exponential curve for the last 30 years. Many of us are continually on the brink of exhaustion, if we're honest, and we are overwhelmed with stress and anxiety. And God is not stupid. He knows what's best for us. And so God commands, stop. Have a break. I don't think he commands a Kit Kat, but he does say, have a break. Let's have a look at this then. Three things. God created us for work, commands us to rest, and Jesus gives us rest. Now, the easiest thing, I think, to miss in the fourth commandment, though, is it actually starts with a command to work, rather disappointingly. So, verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labour and do all your work. Actually, that should be no great surprise if we know anything about God. You see, the very first chapter of the Bible introduces us to a God who works. To a God who rolls up his sleeves, punches the time card and gets stuck in. He is described as doing work of creation and delighting in it, enjoying in it, reveling in the creative endeavour of making this entire universe. Or in other words, the Bible says, don't be Greek. I don't mean don't chronically overspend on unsustainable debt, fail to pay it, and cause a crisis in the euro. If you can manage not to do that, it's probably a good thing. But I mean, don't buy into the Greek ideas of work that actually most of us, even if we don't know where they come from, have bought into. So in Greek mythology, Hesiod tells us that the gods created the humans in the Halcyon period. That was the golden age when there was no work. How the earth just produced everything we needed it to. And so we lounged around enjoying leisure and the arts and endless games of Candy Crush. If you don't know what that is, you need to ask your kids. Work came later. Work came at a later time when everything went wrong in the world. But work is evil in ancient Greek mythology. Or another Eastern myth, the gods got together and they created humans because, frankly, work was beneath them. Work is menial. And they needed people to do stuff for them that they didn't want to do themselves. So they created humans to do the work. Which seemed to be the attitude a number of the senior partners at my old firm had when it came to their work and the working hours of the junior staff. But anyway, now's not the time for me to air my grievances. The Bible has a radically different approach. The Bible says work is good. Once the Creator has rolled up his sleeves and said, I love the work I'm doing, then we can never again say there's no dignity or value to our work. God plays us on side. And there is a very real sense in which you and I do not just work to live. We do live to work. Often we only realise that if we have a long period of unemployment. And then you realise quite how dehumanising and quite how damaging it is to our basic, our identity and our sense of self-worth to not be able to work. Now the Bible does say, before you think, hang on a second, my experience of work seems far short of what you're talking about. The Bible does say that the earth has been radically damaged, cursed, affected by our rebellion against God. And work will never again, since our rebellion against God, be as fulfilling as it was at the start. That's the thing. I don't know if you saw Stephen Fry's outburst against God that's doing the rounds on YouTube. But the big thing that he misses in what's otherwise a very understandable tirade against the suffering in the world. The big thing he misses is that the world is not the way God made it. The world is not how it should be. You see, before we rebelled against God, work was satisfying. It is not always satisfying now. Before we rebelled against God, no one had to commute on the Northern Line. The work was a very different experience. So don't expect work to be perfect now. If you like a summary of the Bible, it says work is good, work is painful, and work will be perfect in heaven. That's the sort of trajectory of the Bible. It was created good, and good work is one of the most satisfying things there is. But work has been ruined by our rebellion against God, and so we'll never experience it perfectly as that now. But actually where we're heading in heaven is not sitting around doing nothing. It's fulfilling labour. Okay, secondly, God commands us to rest. God created us to work, but he commands us to rest. And that's the bulk of this command. It's about not working, Sabbath rest. Verse 13, 6 days you shall labour and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, nor any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates. That's not E.T., it's just a foreigner. So that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Right from the start, God established a rhythm, a pattern, a cycle of 6 days work, 1 day not work. Note, it's not 1 day work, 6 days not work. You may find that hard to believe as you endure another week of commuting into the cesspit of ambition, apathy, immorality, backstabbing and greed that is your office. Don't nod too vigorously, some of you work for the family firm. But the way God wired us, actually we don't cope very well with doing very, very little and just having leisure. Actually we are wired to work punctuated by rest rather than to lounge around with just a little bit of work. Okay, but what does it mean to take a Sabbath rest? Sabbath meaning rest. Sabbath is taught in lots of passages in the Bible, and they each contribute different things to our understanding of the whole. And if you want a summary, it would be this. Sabbath is about enjoying God's blessing by resting from work and resting in God. It's enjoying God's blessing by resting from work and resting in God. So there's a negative and a positive to it. Now first, you'll see in verse 14, it's total community rest. Or in other words, you switch off the BlackBerry. The Sabbath day is holy to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals. It is not just about not being in the office. It's about downing tools completely. It's about turning away from work physically and mentally. Resting the servants and the animals indicates it is the whole community that is at rest. The whole people need to rest. everything stopped. When it says servants arrested, it means you don't go home having fired off a whole load of emails that keep your juniors in the office all weekend. Animals arrested, which is the ancient equivalent of you turn off the computer. You stick the BlackBerry in a drawer and you turn away from it. But it is not just about not working. Verse 12, you're to keep it holy. And holy in the Bible, it's one of those words, but what does it actually mean? It just means set apart for God. That's what it means, set apart for God. And verse 15 expands on it and says, it's a day for remembering the Lord. Verse 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. You see, we need, if we're going to be healthy, if we're going to be properly refreshed, we need more than just to turn away from work. We also need something positive. We need to, as well as to rest from work, we need to rest in God. You see, it's good to take aesthetic rest, to find the things that energize us, whether it's going to a gig, or a classical music concert, or just listening to a whole album on your headphones, whatever it is, if music is your thing, it's good to rest in music. It's good to take a boat trip and see the River Thames, or to get out to the South Downs and watch the sunset when it's not a cloudy day. God designed you and me to enjoy his physical creation and to feel refreshed by it. It's good to take recreational rest. Now, for many of us, our day jobs aren't exactly physically taxing. The heaviest thing any of us lift most days is a grande cappuccino with extra, whatever it is, vanilla topping. And so given that, playing sports or giving yourself a right mauling in the gym, going for a swim or a ride, can be as energizing as it is tiring. And all of that is good and ought to be part of our rest, but it's not enough. We also need to rest in God. What does that mean, though, to rest in God? Well, firstly, I think it means that in all the other stuff we do that we enjoy, the sport, the gigs, the grub, just the pleasure of a lion. As we do it, we're consciously thankful to God, recognizing that he made us to enjoy this, and it's a sign of his goodness that we get to enjoy it. But also, as well as, if you like, enjoying God in the detail, we need to consciously, intentionally give ourselves to relationship with God. We were created for God, and we are never ever fully, deeply satisfied until we are invested in relationship with God. So the wisest and the fullest and the richest way actually to enjoy life is to invest ourselves, to give ourselves to relationship with this God. And so to have a day when we consciously seek to grow our relationship with him, to gather with his people in church, to sing his praises, to learn from his word, to pray to him, to be encouraged by others, is a crucial thing. And I guess in a culture like ours, one of the big dangers for us is that there are just so many opportunities for us of sport and travel and visiting friends in the countryside and taking the family to Legoland, that the danger is we can just never actually find time to invest in our relationship with God. And yet God says here that we need a spiritual Sabbath, that actually a healthy pattern is one day a week given to him will save us, stabilize us, recenter and refocus us for the other 6 days of the week. The 4th century theologian Augustine understood this, and he said famously, "O God, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." But interestingly, we need to get a little bit more specific still, because the 4th commandment doesn't just say remember God. It says remember on the Sabbath that God rescued you. So you see that in verse 15, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord, your God, brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Now if you're a particularly diligent person and in the office this morning, you thought, oh, I know it's on the Ten Commandments today, and you flicked it up in Exodus, which is the other place the Ten Commandments is recorded in the Bible, you would notice, being a sharp individual, that Exodus actually has a slightly different phrasing for the 4th commandment from Deuteronomy, which we have here. In Exodus, it's not linked to their rescue from Egypt, it's linked to creation, that God created the world, and on the seventh day he rested. So, how is that not a contradiction? Why does one say one and one say the other? How does remembering salvation actually fit with a Sabbath rest pattern? Well, firstly, actually, at a very basic level, the reason that it's good to remember God's rescue is that fundamental to remembering God is remembering who He is. It's not remember God, whatever ideas about God pop into my mind, whatever God I happen to like. It's remembering this God, the God, the God of the Bible. And at the heart of everything we learn about this God is that He is a God of salvation. Throughout the Old Testament, the people of Israel call Him the God of the Exodus, basically. Now, you and I weren't rescued from slavery in ancient Egypt like the Israelites, but the Bible makes clear that the Exodus is a sign, a huge working model of what will happen when Jesus Christ dies on a cross. When God would rescue us from slavery, not to Pharaoh, but to our sinful desires that keep us enslaved and that lead us one day to death. And He rescued us not by splitting the Red Sea, but by the Son of God being split open, if you like, nailed to a cross and killed in our place. So to remember God's rescue is simply to say, remember who God is, at His heart, at His essence. As a human being, this God is to you the God who saved you. So at the heart of everything you remember about God, at the heart of your relationship with Him is a knowledge, He is the God who rescued me. But there is also a more direct link to Sabbath, if you like. You see, one of the reasons that I find it harder to take a day off is probably the same reason that you do too, and it's something that gets more and more acute the more senior you get in business. And that is, I'm worried about what will happen if I stop and take my eye off the ball. Or more importantly, I'm more worried about what won't happen if I'm not continually spinning the plates and managing things. You know, we think, look, if I take a full day off, if I simply don't look at the phone, if I don't take the calls, things fall apart. But do you see how salvation is described here? Verse 15, something God did by His mighty power. Salvation, our greatest need, is something that God did without our help. He did it by His mighty power. It was something that He did for us. And if God can sort out our salvation from eternal condemnation, if God can rescue us from eternal death to eternal life, He can probably handle our work concerns for a day. He's sustaining the whole creation for all of time. And to take a Sabbath break is to express, I trust this God. See, Sabbath in the Old Testament is a really serious thing. You know, God gets, He's very serious with the Israelites. He said, you must take a Sabbath. I think, why is He so fussed about whether they take a day off? And the reason is that you can say, I trust in God, I trust in God, I trust in God. But the rubber meets the road at Sabbath. For the Israelites, when they're taking a Sabbath, it was to say, I trust this God and I'll prove it. I will drop my tools and I will go to church. Because God has said, don't worry, I've got things under control. When I don't take a Sabbath, it says, whatever I say, I don't really believe in God. I think everything really is down to me. And so Sabbath is actually quite a big deal because Sabbath is an expression of trust in God. Not a sort of empty blah, 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 I can say the words, sing the songs, but a real concrete Monday to Friday, I trust in God. It says, I trust that my little corner of creation that God has entrusted to me will not collapse if I work hard for 6 days and rest properly for one day. And when I devote that precious time off to God, which doesn't mean you ignore your family and go to church, it means that as part of your family, you make God the center of your rest with your family, with your friends. If I do that, I show that I understand that not only is God in control, but that my deepest need is not just to be not working, but to be resting in God. Just as we close, let me address one or two little quick things. Is this a binding law for us? I don't think it is a binding law today. It's the only one of actually the Ten Commandments that Jesus doesn't explicitly say this still applies to you. So you don't break a law if you don't have a day off a week in the same way that if you run a red light you break a law and you face the consequences. But it is like a law in the sense that gravity is a law. You break the law of gravity when you're standing on a cliff top. And it's not, you know, the police that come after you. It's the sudden stop at the bottom that comes after you. You suffer the consequences of your breach of the natural law. And God created the world with a rhythm or a pattern. Not 24 hours a day, 7 days a week work, but 6 days work, 1 day's rest. And when we live our lives ignoring that, we will suffer the natural consequences of our unnatural actions. And it is just good to have a day when you will not check the email. When you won't do a little bit of office admin to keep on top of things. When you won't get ahead with some of the next week's tasks. Instead, you switch off completely. It is healthy. It's the way you were built. Are you saying I should never ever work on a Sunday? No, it may be the case that for a short term, you know, you just start a new business, you've got a new baby in the house, you know, you can't say to the mum where, and no need to change the nappies for there are times and seasons when it's impossible to have a proper break, but it is neither wise nor sustainable to get into the long term pattern of not having a proper day which breaks the routine. A day when the parent who looks after the kids has a break from that and the other one steps in. A day when the parent who goes out to work has a break from that and perhaps steps in and steps up to some of the family tasks. A day when you stop doing your paid employment. A day when you give yourself to God. Well, what do I do if I have a demanding boss? Again, I know some of you work for the family firm, so be careful. The last thing, you know, you're a Christian, you think, I think this is important, but my boss expects me to be there. The last thing Christians should be known for is downing tools and refusing to work and dumping everybody else in it when things are really busy. That is not Christian. But what you can do is you can tell your boss, look, spending Sunday with the family and with church is really important. And to be honest, long term it makes me a better worker if I have that proper break. Say, look, I'm always happy to stay late or come in early on other days, but it's really important to me that I have that proper break. Most bosses get that. But actually, more importantly than that, get yourself a reputation for being diligent, helpful, cheerful, and competent at your job. Because if you're like that, it's amazing how accommodating bosses will be for workers who are like that. We can't quite stop there, though. There's one more thing that we must say, which is that when all is said and done, even if you have a perfect attitude to work and nail the whole Sabbath rest thing, you will still find life and work tiring and frustrating. It's not a February in London thing, it's just a life in this world thing, to be honest. Jesus Christ said, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It is only as you come to Christ that you'll find true rest, because much of the striving that we put in at work is that need to prove ourselves. Deep down, that's what's going on. And Jesus gives us rest from that, because he gives us as a free gift forgiveness, righteousness, significance, a right standing with God. And so he gives us rest even now. But also in Christ we find the promise of an eternal physical rest. As we share in his eternal life, we have the promise that one day he's going to remake this world, and we won't sit around like disembodied spirits strumming harps on clouds. We'll enjoy the rich, robust, exciting, adventurous pleasures of a brand new, perfect world for us to bring order to, for us to explore, for us to work in. But in the meantime, work and rest. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your wisdom, and I pray that you would help us to not be stupid. I pray that you would help us to recognize our limitations and to build sustainable patterns of work and rest. I pray also that you would help us to make our rest not just physical but spiritual too. Help us to find in you the rest that our souls so desperately yearn. Amen.